Happy New Year. What a better place to start the new year off on a Sunday than right here, right? It's good. I was laughing this morning when I went to pick up the bagels, though, because last week when I went to pick up the bagels, it was jam-packed with people, like jam. And Planet Fitness right next door was empty. And today, what do you think happened? The opposite. Mm-hmm. Happy New Year anyway. We people are funny. We're funny. I'm not against New Year's resolutions, but it's just funny to watch it play out sometimes. How many of you are being honest and you say, when you announced the theme for the year last week being Presence 24, there was a part of you that was like, can we just go back to adventure? Anybody? No? Okay. Well, for some people, presence is so nebulous and so mysterious, and some people are convinced they've never really sensed his presence, so it can be a little intimidating. But lean in. We have 52 Sundays to talk about presence, so lean into mystery. Don't shy away from it. Lean into the mystery of presence, and I want to pray. God, I ask you to help us as we embark on a new adventure of your presence, as we explore, as we explore what your presence looks like and what it can look like and what it feels like and what it feels like even when we don't feel it. Just help us, God. We know that your Holy Spirit can guide us every one of these weeks that we're delving into presence, but we can't do without you. And so we ask you to guide us and lead us every moment. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to start out the message series for the whole year with a message I'm calling Face to Face. Face to Face, because the word presence in the Old Testament, if you go back to the original Hebrew, the word is pena. Pena. There it is. Pena. It's interesting because that word, pena, in the Hebrew is interpreted into English in several different ways. Face, presence, surface, front, before, and countenance. Those are a lot of different words that mean a lot of different things, but they're all from the same root word, the Hebrew word being pena. And I found it fascinating because I told you last week, it's interpreted as the word presence over 225 times in the Old Testament. But do you know how many times that word pena is used in the Old Testament? Over 2,100 times. What does that tell you? It must be important. It must be vital, right? Over 2,100 times. Anybody have a guess which book of the Old Testament is used that word pena is used most at 155 times? Psalm. No, I thought that too. Psalms is 133 times. There's two that are above that. Exodus. No, good guess. Genesis. No, that is the second one, 141 times. I don't think you'll ever guess it, but I'll give you one more guess. Proverbs, that's a good guess, but no. No. Ezekiel. I know. I was so surprised. I'm like, what? Ezekiel. But think about all the times the word face is used in Ezekiel. And that's probably part of it. God is so kind because he gives me many opportunities to really learn what I'm going to be speaking about in a practical way. He knows I'm wired that way. This week I had a series of fortunate events occurred that I was able to go to my grandkids and spend the day with them on New Year's Day. That's a good way to start the new year. And I have a grandson who's 3 and a granddaughter who's 1. Love them both dearly. But my granddaughter, she is energy all the time. I think she just is trying to keep up with her big brother, and so she's just on the go all the time. And she fights sleep like nobody's business. She fights naps. She doesn't want to sleep. She doesn't want to miss anything. And I was there quite a while, and I noticed she was getting tired. She even gave the sign language for tired. She knows she's tired, but she doesn't want to stop. And so I picked her up. And of course, what she loves is when I tickle her or play if I was a great big bumblebee with her. If you don't know that, you're just missing out on life. And I play all kinds of lap games with her. Slow moving car. You don't know that one either. You're missing out on life. Afterwards, I'll do a preschool class with you if you want to know those. They're fun. They're fun. But then I could tell she was getting tired. So I kind of leaned her back on my arm right here. There was a pillow comfortably under my elbow. She loves it when I sing to her. Both my grandkids love it when I sing to them. And most often, I don't sing songs that they even know. I just make up songs to them about my love for them. And I just make up melodies about them. And so she's laying there waiting for the next tickle. And I start singing to her. And she gets still. And I see the signs. I'm like, oh, yeah. Right? But our faces are like 6 inches. We were face to face. We were face to face. And then I was singing about my love for her. And then I started going, I love your hair. And I would stroke her hair. And I love your nose. And she was perfectly still except for this little smile. And then I saw her eyelids start getting heavy. I love your cheeks. I love your chin. I even love this chin. I love your belly. I'm going through all the parts of her. And her eyelids are getting droopier and droopier. But she's so at rest in my love for her. She's so perfectly at rest in my love for her. I mean, there wasn't a twitch in her body at all. She was perfectly at peace. And every once in a while, her eyes would do that. Then she would look back up and she would smile. And I just kept going. I just kept going. Stroke, I love those tiny little ears. They're perfect. I love the way your eyelashes flutter like a butterfly. I'm just making up melodies and words all about my love for her, right? And she drifts off to sleep so beautifully. And I'm like, I just want to seize this moment and never let it go. Because I know there will come a day when I can't do that. I have kids, I know. And I thought, what a gift. But then the funniest thing, her mom and I both know that there's this golden moment where after they fall asleep in your arms, you have a few minutes to transfer them to another place to sleep and they'll sleep fine. But if you let them sleep too long in that place, they will never go back to sleep. So you have to seize the moment on some level. So her mom said, do you think I should move her? I said, yeah, go ahead. So she went to scoop her up and she said, was Naomi singing to you? And she got this big smile with her eyes so totally closed. Big smile. And then went back to sleep. That's what face-to-face looks like. I have a bunch of scriptures. But if I could encapsulate it into a story, that's it right there. And many of us have never really tasted of the sweetness of God's presence in that way because we're fighting rest. And we don't just climb up in his lap and let him sing over us and let him tell us how much he adores every part of us. Face to face. Point number one, that is the original design of when we were created and why we were created, was so that we could be face to face with God. In Genesis 2:7, it says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. You see here, we see the original design, the OG version. We see it right there because God and Adam were so close face to face. God actually performed the first CPR, except it's not really CPR because he was never resuscitated to begin with. He was never resuscitated. I don't know if that's the right word. God got so close face to face that he breathed life. And I find it interesting that it says into his nostrils. like, what? I think life still happens when we get face to face with God. I think it happens. If that's the original design, then why do we try to hide? Point number two, why do we try to hide? We see it right away in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve sinned by eating from the one tree. God said, nah, not that one. You can have every other tree, but not that one. And how did they react to their wrongdoing? First, shame. They were embarrassed at their nakedness, that they had never been embarrassed before. And they tried to cover themselves. Then in verse 8, it says, then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife did what? Hid themselves from the what? Pena of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. We still try to hide. I always knew when my kids had done something wrong because they were hiding. I always knew. Like, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure it out. When they're hiding somewhere, it's probably because they've done something they don't want you to find, right? Not always. Sometimes they play hide and seek. They were the first to try to hide, but they weren't the last. Their son Cain continued the pattern. His brother Abel had brought the sacrifice God wanted, which was a blood sacrifice to worship. But Cain excelled in tilling the soil. So he said, yeah, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. You know, that's the root of all sin. Not wanting to do it God's way, wanting to do it my way. Well, I know a lot of people think that this might be wrong, but I don't think it's wrong. So I'm good. I'm living by my own code. That's what sin is. Cain said, I'm not good at hunting. I'm good at doing the ground. So I'm going to bring in an offering of the fruit of the land. And it said in the Bible that God respected Abel's offering, but did not respect Cain's offering. And of course, Cain got super jealous and killed Abel. So God confronted Cain, knowing what had happened. God is so kind and gracious. In Genesis 4:10 through 12, it says, and then he said, God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. From now on, when you till the ground, it will not yield for you its best. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Note what God said. The ground, which you've always been good at doing, you've always excelled in farming, now it's going to be hard, and you're not going to excel in that. I think there's a lot of unpacking you could do with that. I think sin at its roots takes away our best. It robs us of the best we have to bring. And then he said, you'll be a fugitive and a wanderer. But know what God didn't say. God didn't say, you are banished from this place. He didn't say, you are banished from my presence. I mean, I've literally heard messages and read commentaries that say that when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that God banished them from his presence. No, he didn't. He banished them from the Garden of Eden. He banished them from paradise. If he had banished them from from his presence, how could Cain and he be having this conversation? Doesn't make sense. And he didn't banish Cain. He said, what used to come easy, what used to bring joy to you, now is not going to bring joy to you anymore. Because the very ground that you loved to bring fruit from, that ground has the blood of your brother in it. I find that interesting. But then Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. You have driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Not true. You, and from your face I will be hidden. Not true. And I will be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. Sort of true, but not from the whole earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. God never said anything about that. Here's what I find myself wondering. How would this have looked differently if Cain had said, "Oh, you're right. I messed up. I tried to do it my way instead of your way. I'm sorry, God, forgive me. What can I do to make it right?" No, he said, "I am so sorry I got caught." My mom used to say, "Are you sorry or are you sorry you got caught?" He goes, and fascinating that he focused on his punishment, not the death of his brother. Like, what? Your life is going to be rough? That's what happens, though. We try to hide. We don't want to look in the mirror at any cost. It's your fault, God. What did Adam and Eve do? It's her fault. No, it's his fault. No, it's the serpent's fault. Even in the New Testament, after the cross, Peter understood the value of repentance as well. He's just told in one of his famous sermons, he's just told people how, yeah, you murdered the Messiah. You murdered the promised one, right? But then he picks it up with this. "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled." Here we go. "Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." Here's my favorite part of this verse. "That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Oh, y'all, when we mess up, we have an option. We can either try to hide from his presence, which leads to nothing but more problems, or we can turn and walk towards him and say, "I blew it. I tried to do it my way instead of your way." Peter says, look, you will find such refreshing in the presence of the Lord. You will find healing. David showed us in Psalms. There's so many examples of it in Scripture, how everything changed when someone was willing to own their mistakes, but then let them go, like we talked about last week. Point number three, knowing the value of face-to-face, knowing the value. I love hearing the kids, don't you? Makes me so happy. Exodus 33:11 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend." Does anyone else just get blown away by that? And this was Old Testament, before the cross. Like, that is mind-blowing to me. "When he returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tent." Now, before this, God has just told Moses to take people up into the promised land. The whole Red Sea has happened. A bunch of miracles have happened. But now he's saying, "Okay, Moses, I want you to take these people up into the promised land. And I'm going to send an angel with you, but I'm not going to go myself because these people are too stubborn for me to put up with," basically. Like, it's just too much because they've just formed a golden calf out of all the jewelry. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Doing things their way instead of God's way. He says, "Yeah, you go ahead. I'll send the angel before you. I'll help them wipe out the enemies. They'll help you wipe out the enemies and you'll get your promised land. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. But I'm going to stay here and I'm going to let the angel go with you." Verse 12, "Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me.'" Well, yes, he sort of did. Few verses earlier. "Yet you have said, 'I know you by name, Moses, and you have found grace in my sight.' Now therefore," Moses is talking, "'now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I might find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, and God said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Oh my goodness. For how will it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that we will be distinguished, I and your people, from all the people who are on the face of the earth? The Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. I've read it before, and I've even preached it before, but it struck me again this week as I was preparing that Moses was unwilling to enter the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey, unless God went with him. Now, how many of you, God showed up in your bedroom tonight or tomorrow morning or whatever and said, listen, I'll give you everything you ever wanted. I'll send an angel. They'll wipe out all the enemies before you. You'll live in the land flowing with milk and honey. You'll have all of your needs provided for, but I'm not going with you. I'd like to think I'd go, no, I really want you. But I think it was a big thing that Moses did here. He said, listen, I don't want any of that unless you go with me. I don't want it. He made a really distinctive choice in this moment. He said, if you ask me to choose between you and all of that, I choose you. I'll live in this wilderness, in this desert, in uncomfortable situations with a lack of water and a lack of food unless you provide. I will live here in this misery instead of going into the land that's flowing with rivers and lakes and greenery and pomegranates so big it takes two men to carry them. I would, and clusters of grapes, like I will stay here unless you go with us. I think Moses at his heart said, if I have to choose, give me you. I know you promised your angel. I know you promised miracles, radical provision. I know that. But give me you. Why? Because he knew the value of face to face with God. He knew the value of that. He goes, I'm not giving that up. I think in 2024, we have a choice too. I think there are going to be times in the coming year where some of you have a very clear choice. Do you want to be an influencer? You can have that. Or you can have me. What do you want? You want to make gobs of money? You can do that. You can do that, or you can have me. I'm not saying that you can't be an influencer and have God. I think we can have both. But I do think there are times in our lives when God brings us to a crossroad and he says, I want to see what's at the top of your triangle. I want to see what's at the apex. What is it? Is it me or is it all that stuff? I think when we choose him, sometimes we still get it all. And sometimes we don't. And we have to be at peace. We have to be at peace knowing that he knows what's best for me. And he knows what's best for you. You see, I knew Lenny loved it when I sang to her. So I knew that would calm her and help her to relax into the place where she needed to be was a nap. I knew that about her. Other kids may need different things to get settled down. But I know that about her because I know her. God knows you, and he knows whether being an influencer will take you down or take you up. He knows that. So instead of chasing after something, just chase after God and trust him to bring what you really need. Will we embrace the original design of face-to-face? Will we stop long enough to let God sing over us, to stroke our faces, to tell us what he loves about us? How will I respond? How will you respond when we mess up? Because we will. We will. We don't want to, but we will. So what are we going to do when we mess up? I got to get out of here. I'm so embarrassed. I want to hide. It's hard to hide in this church because it's small, right? It's really hard to hide. I think that's what keeps some people from staying, honestly. I'm not saying it's always the case, but I think it's hard to hide in this church. It's hard. And I'm thankful for it. Because there's a beautiful place that we can come to when we say, I blew it. But God, your grace and your mercy is poured out on me in your presence and in your face. I can see your love shining down on me. And I'm sorry I chose my way. But God, I thank you that you still make your way available to me. You'll find refreshment in his presence when you do that. I talked about last week some. I don't think that means we spend time beating ourselves up. I don't think that's what it's about at all. I don't. But there is a place where you need to be honest and then let it go. Be honest and then let it go. And will we in 2024 place the highest value on his presence? Even if everything else is offered to us, will we say like Moses, if you don't go with me, I don't want anything else. God, I choose you. Let me pray again. God, thank you that you even want to have face-to-face encounters with us. I'm just bowled over by that. But I know it. I know it. So I pray that everyone in this room, between now and this time next year, will start encountering your presence in new ways. If they've always experienced your presence in one way, that you'll introduce new ways to encounter your presence. All of us, me too. And I pray that you would just pour out your grace and mercy on us in such a way that we would begin hungering for you above all else. Whatever that looks like, that you would help us to hunger for you like Moses did. Not in a works kind of way, in a beloved kind of way. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have 51 more weeks to go to talk about presence. So if there's a whole lot of mystery in your mind about presidents, don't sweat it. You're not alone. In fact, let me add some mystery to you right now you can think about this week. One of the verses we just read said, Moses encountered God face to face as a friend. Pena to pena, right? As a friend, okay? But then a few verses after what we read, Moses said, well, show me your glory. Before we go, show me your glory. Show me your goodness. Show me your light. Show me your bright. And God said to him, okay, but I'll turn my back to you because no man can see my face, pena, and live. What? What? So that's something for you to chew on this week. Do you hate that? See, I'm comfortable with mystery. I'm comfortable with it. I don't know. I've gotten comfortable with it. I'm not saying I always like it, but I'm comfortable with it because I'm like the teacher in me wants to say, well, there must be a different word for face in the second time. So I looked it up. Nope, pena. I don't understand. And God laughed and laughed. You're not supposed to. So enjoy. Enjoy. But figure out ways you can, in this coming week, explore the presence of God. Just explore it. No pressure for it to look a certain way or to feel a certain way. Dave and I were just talking this week, and he goes, you know, presence is so difficult. It's so nebulous. I said, I know. I wasn't that fond of the idea when God gave it to me, truthfully. I'm like, oh, that's hard to pin down, you know? He said, it's interesting to me that sometimes I can just really sense God's nearness, and other times it's like, hello? Hello? Sitting in the hospital room for the 10th time in 3 months. Hello? I see the exit sign. Can I get out of here, you know? So just begin looking for clues. What if it pleases God to drop crumbs so that you can go, oh, I think that might be one of the clues. Oh, that might be one of the clues. Oh, what if he enjoys that because he knows you enjoy it? What if? I'm just saying. Next week, we'll continue Presence 24 with a message I'm calling The Bread. Will there be bread? There might. There might be bread. I'm just saying. There might be bread. And right now, there's coffee and there are bagels. And a little bird told me that there are chocolate chip bagels back there because they were requested, right?
So,
starts the new quarter. So chocolate chip bagels along with other kinds are back there. So yeah, enjoy those chats. And there's a puzzle going over there that is so hard. But if you're feeling like you can conquer the challenge, go for it and enjoy that. And thank you for coming today. Yes. Oh, it is? Okay, put this on your calendar. Friday the 26th, we're going to have a presence night. Where it's going to be a whole lot of worship, mostly worship the whole night. And we're also going to take an oil and anoint this place and all the places so that we can make it friendly for his presence, okay? So, huh?
What time is that happening?
Seven-ish? Seven? Yeah, we'll put it in the email this week. I was waiting to get confirmation from Doug that it's going to work on Friday the 26th. Is that the right date?
Yes.
Okay. Put it on your calendar, mark it down. It's going to be awesome. So thanks for the reminder and for the confirmation because I wasn't sure. Thanks. Okay, have a great week. Love you guys.